How's your mental health? I'm listening with Michael Phelps.
You know, I think for me in 2014, when I found myself in that dark, dark place where I didn't want to be alive in those 4 days when I was in my room by myself, I wanted to find a different way. I wanted to find a different answer. I was sick and tired of feeling how I felt, and that's why I started to seek help. And that's when I checked myself into a treatment center.
Join us for Odyssey's I'm Listening to Our National Mental Health Conversation, Wednesday, September 21st at 6 p.m. Talk saves lives.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams, pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
Welcome to the Hump Show on After Hours.
Hump Show's supposed to be a little grueling. It's supposed to be a little uncomfortable. It's supposed to be the last big step for the week until you go down the other side and it becomes a whole lot easier. So as always, our attempt for you on Hump Show is to give you a shove right over the hump.
Getting you to the good half of your week. It's the Hump Show on After Hours.
Our friend Lauren, who is Marco's biggest fan, in fact, he's the president of the Marco Belletti fan club. He heard us talking about Marco and has posted again on our Facebook page. I love it. Yes, I've been singing Marco's praises for 10 years. He used to be a major part of the show going back to Friday, Saturday, Sunday when we first launched After Hours. If you didn't know, little known fact maybe about After Hours, it was named by a fan. It was actually named by a fan. We held a contest in the first month that we were on the air, and a fan came up with After Hours with Amy Lawrence. I still cringe when I think about some of the other names that were suggested for the show. Because, yes, it's a great idea to name your sports talk radio show something along the lines of Lady of the Night. Blech. I mean, some of you are creepsters, and you know who you are. So those same people who might try to send me creepy questions for Ask Amy Anything will get no such satisfaction here. But I am fielding your questions. First time for everything, right? First time in 10 years or 9 years of Ask Amy Anything that I will actually be choosing the questions and reading them live on the air and then answering them myself. So we don't have producer Jay. I don't know where Jay is. Actually, I do know. He and his family are about to return from their big, long vacation and hope they have this, well, Jay, not his family, hope he has this harsh welcome back to reality. It is tough, though. When you go a week plus with very little internet access, there's almost this, I get it, this tension in my gut when I do reconnect to the internet and social media, and I don't want to. I put it off as long as possible. I haven't been to Cuba since 2019. That was my last trip for obvious reasons. But I know that when I'm there with teams and we're working with youth and we're out in the, you know, little village where they barely have internet access that works on a regular basis. I don't have regular Wi-Fi and my phone doesn't work there anyway, that my phone's in airplane mode all week. And the only time that I get on the internet is when the pastor of my Cuban family puts me down at his desk and says, here, write to your mom. And we use his dial-up internet to be able to send an email back home. I mean, that's the extent of it. No checking baseball scores, and it's only state-run TV with tape-delayed sporting events that you see in Cuba, and very often they're weeks or months old. And so you spend an entire week being completely disconnected. I remember my first humanitarian trip to Ecuador going back to, I think it was 2009. Either 9 or 10, whenever Michael Jackson died. It happened when I was in South America and no access to the internet. So you come back, you get reconnected, and whoa. Anyway, so producer Jay has been essentially disconnected for the better part of a week. I don't think he's had a whole lot of access. I've heard from him a couple times on WhatsApp, but for the most part, he's been enjoying his trip with his family. And I can imagine that moment when you turn on the phone. It's almost shock when you get back on social. At least it is for me. I don't know if it'll be for him, but it always is for me when I'm out of the country. So he will not be with us again until Thursday evening. Thursday evening being the start of week one of the NFL preseason officially. And of course, 4 weeks from Thursday night is the NFL season opener. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need cash out of your home and a simple way to get it, Rocket can. First things first, the hump show, middle show of the work week. Your chance to ask Amy anything with no producer Jay. Sorry to disappoint you. So you can send your questions to me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and then also on our Facebook page. So no bright orange box this week. We don't have that. We just have the post with, actually, you'll see the link to our video version of Ask Amy Anything on our YouTube channel. Or you can just go directly to YouTube and you want to make producer Jay happy and let him know how much he was missed. That's where you have to like and subscribe to our YouTube channel because that blows him away. So either on Twitter or on Facebook, we're so different. I don't have a whole lot to do on YouTube except for now and then when I need to go back and watch a press conference or some highlights or something like that, I'll end up, or music. I will say I do music, not necessarily for the videos, but when Grammy Helen passed away and in the days leading up to her passing away, I had one particular Christian music artist that I listened to for days and days and some of the songs over and over again. And so I was getting them on YouTube and kind of got buried in that hole for a little bit, which was good. It was good for me and it helped in my grief or just got me through a few days. So I'll do music on YouTube. And sometimes we'll do some sports stuff on YouTube, but for the most part, that is producer Jay's baby. So all the videos that you see, I have a lot of the creative input and creative license, but he's the one that puts them all together. So he loves it when you check out our YouTube channel. So Ask Amy Anything is an hour from now, but we have a guest coming up in our typical time slot for Ask Amy. Russell Baxter, who was at the Pro Football Hall of Fame induction in Canton, always has his own unique memories and stories, a great one tonight that I hope he'll share with us about Dick Vermeil, who is such an emotional guy and such a well-respected coach. So Russell Baxter, plus a little preseason prep. As I say, we're closing in on week one of the preseason and the NFL getting some business done even as we get closer to preseason. Meanwhile, Aaron Rodgers poo-pooing the preseason and really doesn't see the whole benefit of preseason games. Anyway, at least not for his kind. So we'll let him explain coming up. Anything except for ayahuasca coming out of Aaron Rodgers' mouth. If we can actually talk football with Aaron, I'm good. I'm ready to never hear Aaron talk about anything else but football ever again. Even as I say that, though, I'm excited to get to Lambeau Field for week two, which is a Sunday night game against the Bears. That's going to be a bucket list item to be sure. But we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. In the meantime, Roger Goodell answering questions about the appeal of Deshaun Watson's 6-game suspension and how this is, of course, the right of the NFL that was put into the latest collective bargaining agreement.
It's part of the CBA. The two parties had that right. Either party could certainly challenge and appeal that, and that was something that we thought was our right to do as well as the NFLPA, so we decided it was the right thing to do.
Yeah, he kind of goes around in circles there. The more important point that Roger Goodell made is the why. And we played that just before the top of the hour, but we'll do it again. Why is the NFL appealing the suspension?
Because we've seen the evidence. She was very clear about the evidence. She reinforced the evidence that there was multiple violations here. They were egregious. And it was predatory behavior. Those are things that we felt, always felt were really important for us to address in a way that's responsible.
So multiple violations, egregious behavior, predatory behavior. And the NFL did appeal, and Goodell actually handed off that appeal to Peter C. Harvey. I had not heard the name before, but it's a former New Jersey attorney general. And he will hear the appeal. So essentially both sides. But there's no timing, which is the challenging part of this, right? I don't actually know how this works, but I'm assuming that if the appeal is not done, then Deshaun Watson can continue to work out with the team. Now, we're still weeks away. In fact, over a month away from the NFL season kicking off. Sunday is 4 weeks until week one. Remember? Week one is Browns, Panthers. The NFL, a little foresight there. And so there's plenty of time for this appeal to get done. Just no timetable set. Now, Roger Goodell also talked about the Dolphins' sanctions. I know we don't have that audio, but it was on. We actually could get it if we wanted to. It's out there. The audio, it essentially is him talking about the integrity of the game and how there was no evidence that the Dolphins did tank. And I would agree with that. I don't necessarily agree that Stephen Ross didn't want the Dolphins to tank, or that he said it in a joking manner, because I'm pretty sure that all of the actions of the Dolphins owner indicate that he was not interested in winning that first year with Brian Flores. And we talked about it then, goes back a few years now, right? The fact that the Dolphins were trading away all of their top players in order to shed salary, in order to collect draft picks. Stephen Ross wanted to get younger. So as Brian Flores files this lawsuit against the Dolphins, not only does he allege racism, racist hiring practices against the Dolphins as well as other teams, but that the owner, Stephen Ross, tried to get him to tank games or purposely lose them and even offered financial incentives if he would do that. But I do not believe that you can get players and coaches, especially not in the NFL, where jobs are on the line and it's so uber competitive. I don't believe that you can get these guys to agree to tank. There is nothing that comes out of that except for people getting fired and losing jobs. Maybe the owner can adopt a big picture view, and the owner is okay with the team sucking 1 or 2 years in order to build from the ground up. But the same rules don't apply to coaches, coaching staffs, and the athletes, the marginal athletes specifically, who are trying to hang on and win jobs and keep jobs and get their next contract or contract extension. The rules don't apply to them in the same way they apply to owners who can take a long view, because no one's going to fire them or kick them out. If that was the case, NFL fans would do that every 5 minutes. Jerry Jones would not be the longtime owner of the Dallas Cowboys. Although, come on, Dallas, as much as you all like to point to Jerry Jones as the reason why your team hasn't been to a Super Bowl since 1995, he's one of those owners that actually cares desperately about winning. There are some owners that you could look at and maybe they're not quite as vocal, but they don't care as much about winning as they do about making money. But in the NFL, it's so competitive that coaches are constantly getting replaced. And I don't just mean head coaches. I mean coordinators and assistant coaches, position coaches. We just had one fired from Washington on Tuesday because of a difference in philosophy, according to Ron Rivera. It's so unbelievably competitive. I know coaches who are out of jobs and they got fired last year and haven't been able to find a new one. And obviously there are only 32 teams that have head coaches. So that's nothing to sneeze at. There's no way I'll ever believe that the players and the coaches in a locker room actually do tank on purpose. That's dumb. It's a detriment to your own career. But I can understand why owners would. So when Roger Goodell says there was no evidence of tanking, that's true. In fact, the Dolphins played really hard for Flores. After starting slowly, they picked up steam and won some games in the second half of that season. And so, he is correct in the way that he responds that there was no evidence that the Dolphins tanked. But it doesn't mean that Stephen Ross didn't want that or didn't try to convince his coach that it would be better in the long run. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. You know, the Dolphins were slapped with fines in addition to loss of draft picks. And this is after a 6-month investigation. But those were under anti-tampering rules. So going back to Brady with the Patriots and then the Bucks and Sean Payton. Weirdly enough, there was no reference at all to, I think, the more serious accusations of Flores, and there is a lawsuit, obviously still pending, about him being discriminated against and other coaches of color, black coaches mostly, being discriminated against when it comes to hiring, when it comes to this Rooney Rule. So that was the main point of the Flores lawsuit. The tanking allegations were secondary, really. And yet there was no reference to that at all. So in other words, Goodell talked about integrity of the game. Tanking clearly did not happen here. That's what he said about Miami. We all have to understand our words, our actions have implications, and we have to be careful. Yeah, so nothing at all about the main point of that lawsuit, though I suppose that's at this juncture in the hands of the legal system. Roger Goodell was there for the introduction of the new Denver Broncos owners, $4.65 billion. And we'll hear from them coming up. In addition, Serena Williams has indicated her intent, should we call it intent to retire? Maybe her desire to finally step away. She certainly mentioned family and wanting to grow her family in an article that she did. Well, it was more of an essay. It was Venus herself writing about her future, and it was printed on Vogue.com. And so, while she shies away from the word retirement, and she actually indicates she hasn't even had the conversation with her parents, her husband, they don't really talk about it, she said, and that she's very emotional about it, but she recognizes that the countdown has begun. Right, so this is all about Vogue and an essay that she wrote, and it sent people scrambling to think about the U.S. Open that comes up in early fall. Right now, though, she's playing in the Canadian Open and actually won her first match in 14 months on Monday. So Serena is not yet done. But fellow tennis players, fellow athletes, Americans responding to her intent, her announcement, her essay, if you will. I was thinking about it. I actually asked Marco Belletti, best female athletes of all time. That's a tough question because we're looking across multiple sports. You could talk basketball, maybe gymnastics, swimming, certainly tennis. Whether or not there's an obvious answer or one answer, probably not. But for sure, the sport of tennis and female sports in the United States of America will never be the same. Serena and Venus changed them. They changed what they looked like. They changed how they sounded. They changed the standard, raised the bar. And the fact that Serena came back after having her daughter and was able to compete again at the highest level, so impressive. I have so much respect for her. I'm so happy for her. She truly does have it all. There are very few female athletes at her age that can say that or that are even still competing. She's a triumph in every sense of the word. And I certainly hope that she will get all the adoration there in New York. But I hope that there are a few matches so that multiple sessions of fans can let her know how much she is appreciated and how much her legacy and her impact will not be forgotten, will be felt forever. So on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, top of the hour, your chance to ask Amy anything. Send your questions directly to me. We're cruising through a hump show. Weirdly enough, on my TV, I don't know what channel this is. There is some infomercial about this pill or drug or vitamin that addresses stomach bacteria. And they keep showing these really nasty stomachs. Blah, blah, blah. I got to change the channel. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Now full count to Soto, 3-2. Here it comes from Cobb, and a swing and a towering drive to right field. That's going to tie the game. Juan Soto's first as a Padre is a no-doubter to right. Juan Soto going to go. And 1-1 here in the fourth. 2-1 to Machado. Here's the pitch, and Manny swings, hits it in the air to deep left. Peterson's going back. He's watching it. Then a go. 3-run walk-off home run, Manny Machado. Forget about the blown save. 7-4. The Padres win it in the bottom of the ninth.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
On Padres Radio, finally, San Diego not only getting a breakout performance offensively and the first home run from Juan Soto in a San Diego uniform, but they're able to get that first win since the trade deadline. So Padres beat the Giants 7-4 in a game that was back and forth, back and forth. Machado with a three-run, that's Manny, Manny to you. Manny Machado with a three-run home run in the ninth inning, and Juan Soto with a home run, a solo shot, just shy of 400 feet earlier in the game. So the 22nd for Soto, the 20th for Machado, and I suppose there's something neat about getting that first home run after a big trade, but also kind of getting that big old gorilla off your back because they were desperate for a win.
Only one way to start a winning streak, that is winning the first one. So it was really important for the team and just to get the energy back.
How exciting for you to get your first home run as a Padre?
It was pretty exciting. More in a moment like that, just to get the team going, it was really special for me.
He's great. Look, he loves playing baseball. And you come here and play in front of, 40-some thousand every night here. It's a great place to play. I've heard him say that a couple times. Fans love him here. Acclimating very quickly.
So that's Bob Melvin, who now has Juan Soto in his lineup. And yes, they get off the schneid. They get that first win after they retooled their lineup and added pitchers and hitters and everything else. They need name tags in the clubhouse. But Juan Soto gets his first home run with San Diego, and they, more importantly, get the win. Now, the Dodgers won again. Stop me if you've heard this before. Every single hitter in their lineup got at least one hit, and I believe they also had a pinch hitter. Yeah. Trace Thompson was a pinch hitter. He got a hit, too. All 10 guys who hit. It's crazy to me still that Cody Bellinger is hitting in the nine hole. This is a former NL MVP. Now, I know he's had two pretty tough years at the plate, at least in terms of average. But, yeah, they have no issues subbing guys in and pulling guys out. And 10 different hitters go to the plate, and every single one of them gets at least a hit. So the Dodgers are chugging right along. They've got the best record in Major League Baseball. Now 9 consecutive wins and a 16-game lead. A 16-game lead atop the NL West. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio, and Marco Belletti is here. So were you planning on playing the Mariners' final call?
I don't have it here, no.
Oh, well, we've got it for you. Would you like to listen to it together?
Oh, yeah.
Rick Riz on the Mariners Radio Network. This is a game that went well over 4 hours against the Yankees. It was scoreless in the bottom of the 13th.
Now the 0-2 on the way to Turin. Swinging a line drive, base hit right field. Suarez will score. A walk-off winner, Luis Turin. And in the bottom of the 13th inning, the Mariners win it. 1-0 in this marathon over the Yankees. Luis Turin just punches it through the right side of the infield. Luis getting mobbed out there in shallow right field.
So that's Rick Riz, and I love the energy and the explosiveness, that the volume. That's kind of like me, a man after my own heart. Doesn't matter what time of the day or the night. No joke, this was a scoreless game into the bottom of the 13th, and the Yankees, if I'm Aaron Boone, they would hate me, but I'd make them get up at 8 a.m. and do a base running clinic, at least the ones who stunk on the base paths, and there were several of them. So it was 3 innings in a row, and Marco's here. We were watching the game together a little while ago. 3 innings in a row where they run themselves right out of scoring opportunities, and then in the top of the 13th, so that happens, what, 10, 11, 12? They run into a couple of double plays. They try this double steal, and one of them gets picked off, the lead runner. So 10, 11, 12, and then in the 13th, they've got bases loaded with one out and still can't score.
Right.
And so in the bottom of the 13th, the Mariners, I mean, just at that point, it's playing the odds. Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure I've seen base running that poor since the Bad News Bears, Marco.
It was awful. I mean, it started with Benintendi trying to steal third, but he was trying to time it. Pitcher hadn't actually thrown the ball yet, so he gets picked off easily.
It's a problem when the pitcher still has the ball.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I get the aggressiveness there, but you got to be smart in a first and second, nobody out situation, and already in a scoreless game, and you're in extras. Miguel Andujar got a freeze on a line drive. He gets picked off in a double play. I think it was 2 innings in a row that the Yankees only sent 2 batters to the plate. Hard to do.
And still.
Hard to do.
Yes.
Because you got the ghost runner at second to start the inning, so they got doubled off twice, so they wind up only sending 2 guys to the plate. That's hard to do. Again, it's hard not to score when you got a guy standing at second base for 3 straight innings. It was brutal. It really was. I mean, I hear you. I don't think they're coming out early simply because they got a day game tomorrow. Otherwise, that's a possibility. Look, the Yankees right now are a mess. This is 6 losses in 7 games, 12 in the last 19. You know, since July, I don't know the exact number. It's something like 14 and 20 since July 1st.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a small sample size. This team has got some issues, you know, and this is something that you and I have talked about. And
they waste that outing from Gerrit Cole, though. Now, he and Luis Castillo, his first home start for the Mariners since he got traded. Amazing. The game's still scoreless.
Right.
I think Gerrit went seven and Castillo went 8.
Right. And
it
Cole
was amazing.
Needed it. Cole needed it because he's been awful the last few starts, including the last one against the Mariners 5 days ago, where he gave up 6 runs and 3 homers in the first inning. So he bounced back nicely. This is the third time Castillo has shut down the Yankees in less than a month. Once with the Reds and twice with the Mariners. This is a team right now that's scuffling, and the guy that did it to him 3 times in less than a month is a guy that they should have made sure was wearing pinstripes at this point instead of wearing, you know, Seattle uniform.
You can't have everything, Marco. You can't have all the toys in the toy box.
No, They needed one. Look, the Benintendi was automatic to me just because there wasn't a lot of competition in my thought process. Castillo was the guy that was the best starting pitcher that was available. And the Yankees said, you know what? We're okay. We'll go with Frankie Montas. And you can't settle in that spot. I thought it was ridiculous. And then they turned around and compounded the problem by giving away Jordan Montgomery because they need a defensive center fielder who can't play until at least September because he's got plantar fasciitis. None of this made a lot of sense to me. And you're starting to see it. And everybody keeps telling me for the last month, relax, they're still good, walk off the ledge. And I keep saying, I think the team coming into the year, we came into the year thinking they weren't that good. They got off to such a ridiculous start, and everybody's talking about historic. Now, all of a sudden, they've scuffled, and you're saying, oh, well, this is the regression to the mean. And my problem is, I see the holes, and I think the start in the beginning was the mirage.
Every time I ask Marco about the Yankees, this is what happens.
The mirage was early. This is the real team, and that's the problem.
Well, they've lost 7 of their last 10, and as you point out, have just the one win since the trade deadline and all these moves. However, right now they are tied with the Astros for best record in the American League, and they still have a 10.5 game lead. So every time they take a step back, it seems like the rest of the AL East responds. The Blue Jays have only won half of their last 10 games. The Rays, same position. The Orioles are, they're not a challenge to win the division, but they're actually the team that's surging in the AL East right now. Yeah, they're amazing. I said that last night. Best story in baseball this year, though the Mariners could certainly be that if they can finally end what is a 21-year playoff drought. And here's another nerd alert. Are you ready? You can use this in your update if you like. In the last 44 games, the Mariners have the best record in baseball, 31-13.
Got to tell you, I know they had that giant win streak, whatever it was, right into the break.
Was it 14 games?
It was something like that. Yeah, I didn't realize it was that good for that long.
Yeah, I mean, they don't maybe get the credit similar to Baltimore because they're in divisions where the leaders have set such a torrid pace. But the Mariners are very much in the wild card race, as are the Baltimore Orioles. On we go into the month of August, the bulk of August, the dog days of August, and Marco's got the rest. Top of the hour, your chance to ask Amy anything. So send your questions to my Twitter, A-Law Radio. We're going to do a little different tonight. Our Facebook page, too. No, I'm not going to answer your question about who wins the Super Bowl. Stop it.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast. Here on After Hours, we like you as much as you like us. Oh, mama, don't play
now, baby. Welcome to After Hours, CBS Sports Radio.
Hi, Amy. First time caller on the show. I think you're doing great since I've been listening to you tonight.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
Thanks for having me. I'll get my introduction out the way as fast as possible. Pleased to meet you, Amy. I'm actually new. It's my first time phoning in.
Sweet.
So I am new among your listeners. I'm a newbie to After Hours.
Sweet. Welcome.
Awesome.
Hello, Amy. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you.
Thanks for taking my call. I've listened to a lot of sports talk radio over the years and never made a call. You've done such an excellent job tonight.
First time calling. Amy, thank you for taking my call. I listen to your show every morning as I travel into Boston.
Thank you.
Good morning, Amy, American woman. I love listening to you. I left Atlanta last night. I'm all the way in Tuscaloosa. I've never lost reception. I just had to give CBS Sports the utmost shout out this morning in my 18-wheeler. But Amy, it is so wonderful every time that I listen. I will call you next week. Love you all. Have a great morning.
Can't wait.
Here's Amy Lawrence.
Top of the hour, your chance to ask Amy anything directly. We cut out the middleman. Producer Jay goes away. I mean, what did he think? We were going to fold without him? Maybe he did. Nah. I'm old. I predated Producer Jay in this business, and I'm sure that at some point when he decides he needs to make a career move that we'll survive without him and we will post-date Producer Jay as well. But don't tell him that because we want him to think that we're barely hanging on by a thread without him when he returns. Okay, so that's our deal, just me and you. Just let him know that the show wasn't nearly as good without him, even if you didn't notice. It's After Hours with It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. 855-212-4227. On Twitter, A-Law Radio. On our Facebook page, too. so excited to see your questions coming in. And I'm not going to do the categories that producer Jay does. I'm not going to print them out. I'm just going to ramble through them on Twitter and then Facebook. And the ones that catch my eye that I think can be answered relatively quickly, I will do. And so it probably won't be the same, but you know what? Change is good for us. Out of our comfort zone, it's good for us. Let's talk to Bob, who's in Rhode Island. Welcome to After Hours.
Yes. Hello, Amy.
Hello.
Been a long time. I've been listening to you since 790 The Score, and you refereed a game for me against the Washington, the Column Wizards.
Did I tee you up?
You know what? Oh, no, you didn't tee me up. But what was cute, and I tried to get you to do the Harlem Globetrotters. I actually spoke to Sweet Lou Dunbar. When it happens, one of the guys on our team got pants when he was taking a foul shot. And you grabbed your pants, so cute, because someone was behind you on their team.
Uh-huh. That sounds like
was,
me.
You just naturally did it so beautifully. It was like... And I actually know Sweet Lou Dunbar, but they have certain referees, so I that they had do.
I
all
feel
the
like
games.
I remember this actually. It was fun.
Yes. Yep. And my son got a picture with you.
Aww.
I'm gonna try to get your email online. I'm gonna send you the picture later on.
That's very nice and, of you. Thank you.
What I want to also say is this: just like Arnold, and they are going to be back. 790 The Score. They're talking, they're going to go all sports. They're going to be back sometime later this year.
That's cool.
Yeah, imagine that. Many 20-plus years later, because it was 2008. So now you're going to be 14 years later that they're going to bring them back. And but what I wanted to mention a couple of things about first about Vin Scully, because I was online for like an hour and a half, and then it just I didn't get on. Because what happens, they switch at 5:30 on the radio. They switch to Best Of for...
I got you. Our Boston affiliate. Yes, like many affiliates, they do local programming at a certain point during my show. So, yes, I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, so now here's what I want to say. The youngest ever broadcaster of a World Series, Vin Scully.
Yep.
26 years old. Imagine being at the top of your game. Besides Bijan Borg at 26, who retired. But at 26 years old, at 9, he's listening to the Giants play. That was his team. And then 17 years later, he's calling solo the World Series.
Yeah, pretty amazing. I enjoyed talking about him and talking to people about Vin Scully last Wednesday on the sad occasion of his death. But, yeah, I didn't expect it. We did an entire four-hour show about Vin, and yes, called 25 World Series and made history as the youngest broadcaster ever to be behind the microphone for a World Series game. In addition to all the other things he did that were out of this world.
And one of the other things that he did, we all, you know, all want to run out and get maddened every time the new game comes up, new version, is Pat Summerall. They decided Pat Summerall meshed better with him than Vin Scully in 1982. So they went with Pat Summerall in the booth because it was a two-man booth at that time. But literally, people don't realize how well he was in football. In football, Red Barber had him do a game at Fenway Park, and he didn't realize that they were going to be broadcasting from the top of Fenway, not in a booth. He didn't bring anything to wear, or even a coat. But you could not even tell that he was freezing to death.
Well, that's pretty standard for broadcasters. The number of times that we are freezing cold or super hot or in awkward positions or bad angles or can't see. One time I had to call an entire college basketball game holding a phone because my equipment didn't work. I mean, we survive a lot as broadcasters, especially play-by-play. What?
Was that at Hartford?
No, actually, it was on the road. I think it might have been at Dartmouth, actually, where I did the game. But I did do the game for Hartford, yes.
And what about the Tennis Hall of Fame? Are you still doing that? Or
I'm not. It's too far for me to drive. I did it for a couple of years after I took this job here in the New York City area, but it's too far to go and hard to be able to take a week of vacation when I would be working. So, yeah, I don't do it anymore, but I do enjoy those memories of Rhode Island and certainly Newport and the Tennis Hall of Fame. Bob, thank you so much for calling. It's good to talk to you.
Yes, thank you. I'm going to call back again.
Sounds fantastic. You do that anytime. Good to connect with you. That goes back to my pre-network radio days. Actually, Providence, Rhode Island was my last stop before I made the jump to network radio. We had our debut of Detroit Lions on Hard Knocks on Tuesday night. And I am all about the Dan Campbell drops, all about the Dan Campbell moments. But honestly, Jamal Williams stole the show, at least initially. Did you hear the speech that he gave to his teammates? Now, this is his second season in Detroit. He spent the early part of his career in Green Bay.
I'm going to let y'all know, man, today is the minimum of effort. Do not give up. Do not feel like you're tired. Were you tired? Think of last year and think of that f-ing record. Every time I get tired or I think I can't go no more, I think of that f-ing record. Last year wasn't it. That ain't us. We can make it. Have some heart. I get emotional about this. I'm about to cry because I care about y'all. Do your best. Let's go. Lions on three. 1, 2, 3.
Lions.
I'm telling you, adopting the Lions in 2022, because if nothing else, they will be a fun ride. Last season, 3-13-1, and finished in the basement of the NFC North. Dan Campbell, though, he's got plenty of emotion to match Jamal Williams.
I swear to God, I'm not a lunatic. I swear to you. And if I absolutely knew we could get to where we need to get without ever putting pads on, I'd do it. I swear to you. All I think about is you guys. That's all I think about, man. That's all I think about is you guys and how I set you up for the best possible advantage I can give you to have a season. I swear to you, man. I just need you to trust me. That's all.
I swear to you, I'm not a bleeping lunatic. If you have to tell people that you're not a bleeping lunatic, well, it's like I tell people, I'm not crazy. Well, I used to. I don't anymore. Now I just go with one of my favorite quotes of all time. Find people in life who are your kind of crazy. Speaking of crazy, we're going to get a little crazy. Coming up next, we're going to try something different. I am going to ask and answer your questions for Ask Amy Anything. You got a couple of minutes left to send them to Twitter, A-Law Radio, or our Facebook page. Man, we are dead center of the work week right now. It's the Hump Show here on CBS Sports Radio.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
How's your mental health? I'm listening with Alanis Morissette.
When it first started, I would have my nightly panic attacks, but then I started getting really curious about all the sensations. Like, I just really started looking at, okay, so chest is, I got really kind of granular in observing the details of what was really going on with the breath. It's just survival strategy. Chronic stress is trauma.
Join us for Odyssey's I'm Listening 2-Hour National Mental Health Conversation, Wednesday, September 21st at 6 p.m. Talk saves lives. How's your mental health? I'm listening with Alanis Morissette.
When it first started, I would have my nightly panic attacks, but then I started getting really curious about all the sensations. Like, I just really started looking at, okay, so chest is, I got really kind of granular in observing the details of what was really going on with the breath. It's just survival strategy. Chronic stress is trauma.
Join us for Odyssey's I'm Listening 2-Hour National Mental Health Conversation, Wednesday, September 21st at 6 p.m. Talk saves lives.
Viator is the world's leading travel experience marketplace, offering everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. Extensive options, ease of selection, and flexibility at your fingertips help make sure your time is wonderfully spent. Viator is the place to go to book experiences that will create long-lasting moments that make lifetime memories. And Viator has over 300,000 bookable experiences to choose from in over 190 countries. In fact, just last year, Viator helped my family put together this amazing adventure on the island of Kona, swimming with the manta rays, trying to avoid the barracudas. Whatever your wildest dreams, if you can imagine it, Viator probably has an experience just for you. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in Viator's world of wonderful experiences. Viator, one site, over 300,000 experiences you'll remember.